I'm Gideon from the Burning Veil Podcast, and you are listening to The Infinite Rabbit Hole. Keep it up, guys. You're doing a great job.
About 70% of the Earth is covered in water, but according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association, or NOAA, we've only been able to research about 5% of that. The ocean is such a vast area, full of unknown creatures at depths we couldn't even begin to imagine. For example, the deepest known trench, the Marianas Trench, has a depth of 10,984 meters, or 36,037 feet. And is the home to many different organisms, and is even a place where deep sea gigantism occurs. But what kind of creatures lay waiting in the undiscovered, potentially deeper trenches? What about the possibility of a human-like creature swimming around in the oceans? Stories have been told of beautiful women found on rocky shores with singing voices so mesmerizing, people can't turn away. Some have bad intentions, while others not so much. These legends and stories have captured the attention of people all over the world for centuries. What kind of marine wildlife is out there that we haven't discovered yet? Who's to say there isn't a creature similar to humans living in the ocean? What if humans evolved from said creature? Today we dive deep into the world of mermaids, breaking down the origins and discussing how their presence has captured the world. Welcome back to the Infinite Rabbit Hole.
Not bad, new kid.
Thanks. I was more nervous about that intro than I am the rest of the presentation, but I'm still pretty nervous about this.
Good.
Must admit.
Welcome back to the Infinite Rabbit Hole. I am your host, Jeremy. Actually, you know what? Never mind. Screw that. I am not your host today, but I'm introducing everybody today for the host because she's a little nervous. But that's okay. This is her first presentation, and I didn't want to just throw her off the deep end. No, we're going to go to the middle of the pool today, and then we're going to push her in, make her swim to the deep end. And then we're going to all walk out, turn the lights off,
and go to bed.
But before we hand it over to new kid Kenzar, let's go ahead and bring in Jake and Jeff. Jake and Jeff, the J and J, and me, the other J, the J and J and J and K crew of the J's of...
We're going to cut all this out.
The J of the Infinite Rabbit Hole. What's up, guys? How you doing?
Oh, my goodness.
Doing well.
What's up, buddy?
We got some stuff to get into early on before we hand it completely over to the actual host for the night. Right? And the actual host of the night is Kid Kenzar. Kenzar, welcome to the Infinite Rabbit Hole. How you doing?
I'm full of anxiety.
Good.
So today is the day. Kid is going to give us her first presentation and on a topic that she chose, which is mermaids.
Yes, sir.
You're going to tear this shit apart.
I thought we were doing When the Whales Attack. What happened, Kenzar?
that was a side project the mermaids. Yeah.
So before we get into Kenzar's presentation, I have a few emails to go through that were sent into the Infinite Rabbit Hole via our contact us button at infiniterabbithole.com. Both of them are from a guy named Leon.
Leon,
what's up, man? Hey, thank you.
Leon.
In his first email, which was sent on March 31st. So I've been holding on to this for a little while. Sorry. Anyways. Just discovered your podcast 2 days ago and listened to the Thunderbird episode. In ancient languages, there are oftentimes less words than modern languages. And even today, there are spoken languages with natives who do not have words for things we do. With this in mind, I would say a thunderbird could represent any large bird in a native tongue. A pterodon or ropin could be a thunderbird. Would this change everyone's ratings at the end of the show about whether they still exist today? Thanks, Leon.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't remember what I rated the Thunderbird. And we haven't even done the ratings on anything else. Totally forgot about that.
I think we all said 4, that it once existed but no longer exists now.
I think you're right. I think that's what we went with, right?
Yep. In that circumstance, we were an echo chamber.
Yeah. The infinite rabbit hole echo chamber was strong that night. What do you guys think? Kenzar? Jeffrey?
I don't know.
What was the question again?
I wasn't a part of that episode. I was just a listener on that one.
Well, you were still there.
Basically, for Jeff, that the Thunderbird could have meant a number of different things, to include dinosaurs. Does that change your opinion?
Not on dinosaurs, but yeah. I mean,
dinosaurs are fake, right?
Technically, flying reptiles.
I understand the I understand what he's saying, that there's different meanings for different words, and there's entire languages. There's languages that don't even line up at all with like the English language, right? So yeah, I vibe with that.
Right on. All right, so the other one, which was sent yesterday, today is April 12th, by the way.
Oh, I had no idea. Oh, no.
This is a question for Jeff. Does he have any thoughts about the Inca stones as related to his thoughts on dinosaurs? Also, I am a Christian, and it's nice to hear a Christian brother on the podcast. Shout out to Jake.
Shout out taken. Appreciate it, dude.
Good job, Jake. The Inca stones. These are the giant megalithic stones that look like they're melted together and placed, you know, like you couldn't even fit a piece of paper into them. I think that's what he's talking about in Peru or someplace.
And no, he was not pre-staged with this question, so he is on the spot.
Right, so... what was the question again about the Inca stones? I'm sorry, man.
He's missing out on his enchiladas, guys. We apologize.
I am. I'm hungry.
You should have brought your food like me.
I should have. They're not ready yet.
That's what we were telling him.
I don't think they relate to dinosaurs other than what I think I said in that episode, that I think that humans in our form have been around for much, much longer than we're told, right? And things like the megalithic structures that he's talking about could have very well been built by some form of giants, because I don't see how
on, because I just have you done a search for these things yet? The Inca stones ICA stones.
Oh, I think they said Inca,
so that's what he has written down here, but I just did a quick Google search and the first thing that comes up is ICA stones.
Okay, so I'm totally mistaken here.
And there's definitely some dinos etched onto these stones, for sure.
Yeah, I have seen these before. I would have to do some more research to figure out exactly when they were made and by whom. But doesn't really change my mind on if dinosaurs... because remember, I specifically said in that episode that I don't think that everything we're told about dinosaurs is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Mm-hmm. Right, so... were there megalithic lizards? I'm sure there probably were. Did they exist 100 million years ago or 65 million years ago? That's where I'm caught up.
Gotcha.
Nope.
And if these stones, whoever made these stones, obviously they've seen whatever this megalithic creature is. So how could they have been around 65 million years ago unless the timeline of our history is completely off, which is. Right in line
like
with what
people
I think.
Lived with dinosaurs. Like that.
People
like
could have
that.
Maybe. Look, man, I don't know. Yeah, it's a good point. But also the Inca stones. Giants put them there. So there you go.
Now, real quick, Leon, thank you so much for the shout out. I appreciate it. It's always cool to hear when there's other Christians that listen to our stuff and take something away from what I bring to the table besides just a skeptic's point of view, that there's, you know, a similar thought process and all kinds of stuff. Keep reaching out to us, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Let this be kind of a gateway for everyone else. Yes. Go ahead. Send us your questions. Send us your bitches, your gripes, your applause.
Leave
your
a voicemail.
Leave a voicemail. Still waiting on that. We'll get to it. This is what we're going to do. You know, you send us a question. We're going to go over it at the beginning of the episode. And you'll get our thoughts and opinions on it. But that's all I have. That's it. We have some big news possibly in the works, but it's a little too early right now to say anything. Just know, coming up soon, might be some big news. And that's all I have. Kid. Wait, actually, Jeff, Jacob, do you guys have anything before we hand it completely off to the kid?
I do not.
Nope. I'm right. Ready for her to fly or die.
Sorry, kid. It's all you now.
So I have this kind of setup, kind of like Jeremy would do it, but I'm hoping we can get a good conversation going on here. So
won't be able to get a word in edgewise.
No. Ready?
Ready.
The first appearance of a mermaid in human history was around 1000 BC in Assyria. The beautiful fertility goddess Atargatis fell in love with a mortal shepherd and had a daughter. However, she had unintentionally killed the man. She felt so much shame for killing her lover that after the birth of her daughter, Atargatis cast herself into the lake with the intention to drown. But instead, she took on a half-woman, half-fish-like appearance. Her beauty was so unimaginable, she could not die or fully transform into a fish. So she kept her feminine form and beauty above the waist while having a fish tail instead of legs. From there, Greek mythology expands more and goes real deep into the mermaid world. They tell stories of the Nereids, the Tritons, Sirens, as well as Thessaloniki. Nereids were the daughters of Titans, Nereus and Doris. Nereus was considered to be the old man of the sea and was believed to be able to change his shape, sometimes having the upper body of a man and the lower body of a fish. He resides far at the bottom of the ocean with his daughters. Nereids were depicted as beautiful and kind sea nymphs, often helping sailors and fishermen. Some had tails of fish, while others were shown to have legs and would be holding onto dolphins, fish, or hippocampus, which were literal seahorses. It was the horse of a head with the tail of a fish. There were 50 Nereids. A couple very well known would be Thetis, who is the mother of Achilles, and Amphitrite, who was the wife of Poseidon and mother of Triton. When the Titans were overthrown by Zeus, Nereus was replaced with Poseidon as the ruler of the seas. And as mentioned, Poseidon and Amphitrite were parents of Triton, who later inherited the kingdom from his father and became the well-known King Triton. Yes, that King Triton, the father of Ariel. We'll get more into the Little Mermaid and Ariel and all of that after. But what do you guys think of the Nereids so far?
I think that mythology like that, I don't think that it just spawned up out of nothing, like all the different crazy mythological creatures and gods and goddesses and all kinds of stuff. But I think that it had a lot to do with what was important at the time and the things that they were surrounded by, and the animals and the enemies and all kinds of stuff had major influence into all that creation of, you know, those sorts of things. And I think that a lot of sea dwelling people would have had a tremendous, like the fish impact, or the fish and all, like how big the population was and how small it was and all sorts of stuff would have a major impact on those sorts of people. So it would make sense, like the foods that they ate, like fish, for example, would be intertwined deep into their mythology and their, you know, various religions and things like that.
Yeah, it would make sense for sure. The only thing that makes sense in my head.
So I was completely unaware of that creature you're talking about with the horse head and the fish body.
Hippocampus?
The hippocampus.
It sounds super familiar.
I had to That took me off guard because I thought it was like a hippo.
Yeah.
But no, it's a literal, it's a horse with a fish's tail. It's not a seahorse. It's a literal horse with a fish's tail.
Isn't there a like an astrological sign that's that?
No idea.
I think so.
Because that sounds super familiar to me.
There's a part of the brain called the hippocampus.
Yes, that I know of.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, just the imagery itself.
Yeah, probably. Every culture had different art or beings that they would have in the stars, right? So, like, what we think of as astrology and the symbols, like the twins or the fish or whatever. Like, every culture had a different being that represented that sign. But if you get deep into, like, the occult meanings and stuff behind a lot of these things. So like I was saying, there's a part of the brain called the hippocampus. So was it a knowledge from back then that they had about the brain and they encode that into the sky clock to tell a story?
I don't know.
The interesting part about the hippocampus is it's actually shaped like a seahorse if you pull it out. Like it's got that same kind of twisty sort of look to it.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
This whole episode kind of reminds me of the unicorn episode, which is strange because at the end of the unicorn episode, at the end of the research I put into it, I ended up thinking like there might have been a creature such as a unicorn at some point, especially after all the stuff that I dove into and I presented during that episode. I don't think that's the path I'm going down this way. Sorry, Kanzar. I just don't think that's going to happen.
That's cool. We'll get there though.
I hope you prove me wrong. I really do. And just the fact that they're just throwing random animal heads on top of fish doesn't help.
We'll get there. Don't you worry. Final thoughts are coming up.
I'm waiting for like the dogfish and like the birdfish and all that really strange stuff to just come out and just like, well, I guess everything.
Whales had legs. That's about as strange as it got.
Sorry, just to fact check myself. I was thinking about Capricorn, which is a ram's head or a ram with a fish tail.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know why. That sounds still the imagery of it, thinking about it, seems super familiar to me. I don't know.
Either way, if you're just going to spit a whole bunch of Little Mermaid facts at me, kid.
No.
Okay.
No. It gets pretty cool, in my opinion.
Awesome. I'm ready. I'm excited. I'm stoked. I'm the bad guy here.
Yeah, you are.
Stop coming at Kenzar. She's doing a great job. Shut up, Jeremy.
My first episode. My be job. Nice to me.
No.
Right? A coach is meant to build up their team.
I was mean to Jeff on his first episode.
Yeah, but Jeff's also been podcasting for a year longer than I have.
He was so scared.
I was not scared.
Go ahead, kid. Take it away.
Sirens became a part of confusion in mythology. Originally, they were bird-like creatures closer to harpies who would lure sailors to their deaths with their beautiful songs. Harpies are a bird-like creature known as the spirit of sudden and sharp gusts of wind, as well as the hounds of Zeus. They were quite disgusting creatures, where sirens were the opposite of that. It is believed that the sirens lost their feathers in a singing battle with the muses. After losing the singing battle, they fell pale and flung themselves into the ocean, and depending on which legend you read, they either perished or turned into mermaids. So there's definitely some confusion behind sirens, but it is believed they officially took the mermaid form in the Middle Ages. Sorry, guys. That was a mouthful.
Fun fact about sirens. You guys want to hear it?
Yes.
No.
So we're all familiar with the Starbucks logo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What are you laughing at, Jeremy? Why are you giggling over there?
None. I love you, okay. Dude. Go ahead.
Whatever,
we'll talk
bro.
About that later.
Okay, fine. I'll let you go then.
Yeah,
no,
shut
give
up,
it to
Jeff.
Nope. I want it now.
Okay, well, the Starbucks logo is the twin-tailed siren, right?
Yes.
It's an ancient symbol. Right. It means obsession, addiction, and death.
Yep.
Nice.
We talk about that a little bit more.
Okay. Later. Sorry. Didn't mean to jump you.
No, that's okay. We'll get there.
You better say verbatim what he said. Be like, I don't know if you guys knew this.
No. Doesn't get that to the point. But despite my little mishap, what do you guys think of sirens?
I never knew that they were based off of a bird creature. That is something I did not know.
I didn't either.
I'm hearing a lot of mythology.
Yes.
Right. So this is obviously built off of mythology. And
a lot of Greek mythology.
Right. So sirens are Greek, but isn't mermaid supposed to be like a European like folklore kind of thing?
Yes. So the word mermaid itself, mer comes from Old English. I don't have it written down here. I can't remember the exact translation, but mer is from Old English and maid being a maid. Mer was like, here, let me pull it up. Let me see if I can.
Some blurry ghost lady just showed up in Jeff's video. That was crazy.
She fed me some enchilada insides. I can help you out, Kenzar. Mer or meridian, or another definition of mer is a combining form.
So basically they took two words from Old English and combined them together, and now you have mermaid. I can't remember what exactly the translation was there, but it's Old English.
I wonder, did the Roman Empire go up to what's now England?
I have no idea.
Because I'm trying to think about how two different cultures would adopt the same sort of mythology. Like you were just saying, this is Greek mythology. So not Roman, but Greek, right? Roman Empire controlled a lot of Europe and the Middle East, like most of it, right? Mm-hmm. I wonder at what point through the expansion of people that that lore and those legends transferred over across all of Europe to get to England.
I don't know anything about that, but the very little I do know about mermaids and sirens is the fact that one of them's European, which is the mermaids, one of them is Greek, which mm-hmm. is the siren, and one is an antagonist and one is a protagonist. So one is good, one is evil. Mm-hmm. The sirens are evil, mermaids are good. Other than that, I honestly always thought that they were just like one and the same. They were just like lady tops and fish bottoms. And
no, it's fish tops and lady bottoms. Everyone knows
fish tops
that.
And lady bottoms. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. My apologies.
So that's the basic mermaid knowledge is siren. Well, sirens and mermaids are all considered the same thing nowadays. You ask anybody, they say they're the same thing.
Old fish tops and lady legs.
Yep. Old fish tops.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's basic mermaid.
To answer your question, Jake, the Roman Empire did encompass much of the British Isles. Not necessarily all of it. I don't know if anybody knows for sure, but yes.
Did it also encompass Greece?
Yes, it did.
Okay. So then that would make sense.
So you're saying that sirens most likely are older than old mermaids? And possibly the mermaid lore is based off of the siren mythology?
Or they're real.
Or they're real.
Like what Jeff was insinuating in the dinosaurs episode, everyone's talking, all of the ancient cultures had their own form of like gigantic snakes and dragons. Like either it's a mix up of mythology that traveled through the entire area, like all around the world because of people spreading out and taking their stories everywhere, or they're real. Like now we'll get into that, I'm sure, but you know, or there's some sort of reality behind it that would spawn two separate cultures to develop the same type of mythology, you know?
And also to answer Jeremy's question, sirens are from Greek mythology, so it's older than Roman.
Yeah.
Didn't you ask that?
Well, yeah, I mean, he was asking if basically what I was saying was that it was older, but that would, I mean, to me, that'd be somewhat obvious because like English folklore and stuff didn't really become established until England was its own country, right? Versus Greece, which was already very well established and still is and has been around for thousands of years. I mean, it's biblical Greece,
but asking
the
question about the Roman Empire, right?
But I mean,
I was just trying to strengthen the connection between European lore and Greek mythology.
Oh, I see.
Ready to carry on?
Yep. Ready? Yes, ma'am.
Okay. In the Argonautica, Jason, the ancient Greek mythological hero and leader of the Argonauts, was warned he would need Orpheus on his journey. Orpheus was a legendary musician and prophet, and when he heard the siren song, he played music more beautifully on his lyre, drowning out the siren's voices. The story further explains that a member of the crew, described as a sharp-eared hero, Brutes, had heard the song of the sirens and jumped overboard. Thankfully, he was caught and carried back to the ship by Aphrodite. There's also the poem Odyssey, which tells the story of Odysseus, aka Ulysses. He was curious to know what the sirens would sing to him, so he had all his sailors plug their ears with beeswax, and then they tied him to the mast of the ship. Despite how much he begged, the sailors would not release him until they were free of the siren's song. It is important to note that the siren in this story is the bird-like creature, because it is said that if anyone was to escape the sirens, they would die. Once Odysseus passed through, they flung themselves into the water and perished or became mermaids. So that's just another little fun story that I found.
I remember that.
I had never, like, I had heard of Odysseus and all that, but I didn't actually know the story behind it. So that was fun for me to look into.
I remember reading Homer's Odyssey in like middle school or high school or something like that. I think it was high school, actually. But yeah, that's a fantastic tale.
Yeah. So then I go into Thessaloniki, which I found very interesting, honestly. She was the sister of Alexander the Great, who became immortal after he washed her hair with waters from the Fountain of Immortality. When Alexander had passed, she was so grief-stricken that she threw herself into the ocean in an attempt to kill herself. This did not work out so well, and instead she was transformed into a mermaid. For years, she roamed the Aegean Sea, asking any passing ships about her brother. If they had assured her he lived on, they were free to carry on their way. But if not, Thessaloniki turned into a monster and sent the ship to the bottom of the sea. There's a statue on the Greek island of Thasos that immortalizes the story, and on the statue has a poem that reads, "It was not an island, it was a beast laying on the sea. It was the mermaid, the sister of Alexander the Great, who mourned and made the sea rough." Thessaloniki had three children, Philip, Antipater, and Alexander. When their father died, Thessaloniki wanted Philip and Alexander to take the throne. However, Antipater was next in line, and jealous of his mother's favoritism towards Alexander, Antipater killed her in 295 BC. So it's believed that she was actually killable despite her immortality. And she was a mermaid.
Hey, everybody. Bear with us while we take this quick break.
That's not very nice. Be like, have you seen my brother? Is he alive? Be like, lady, I don't even know who that is. Dead.
So that was a fun little story that I liked.
I wonder if mermaids... Okay, so there's part of me that's like, yeah, they're probably real. But then the other part of me is like, I wonder if it's just a... like an esoteric, not even like a mythology, but like a, again, going back to what we were saying earlier, like a way to describe things, because that happens a lot in like esoteric or occult circles where they'll take stories or mythologies or the, you know, astrology and all that kind of stuff, and they mash it up to try to like explain a story, usually about like you within yourself, like the human experience. So, like, right now I'm on the fence. I'm like, they're real on one side, but maybe it's just a story of us in some way. So I'm trying to, like, piece that together as you're talking about this stuff.
Doing this research totally changed my opinion on mermaids. So
did you discover yourself?
Not myself, no. I discovered my beliefs on mermaids, though.
Well, so far, I still don't believe in mermaids. But I am waiting for one particular topic to come up, and I'm curious as to what you got on it.
Are you talking about the Fishman of Chernobyl?
Yes. That's it.
You also believe in dinosaurs, so.
Listen, yeah. Guy. Listen.
You're already hopping on one leg, according to Jeff. Yeah. And it's a dinosaur leg.
It's a dino leg, yeah.
Next, it'll be a fish leg. And then you'll be the mermaid symbol on Starbucks.
There you go.
It'd be better coffee, though. Not better fraps. They have good fraps. Coffee is ass. Go ahead, kid.
I mean, having to pay $5 for a coffee is garbage anyways, so. Anywho, have you guys ever heard of the Ningyo?
Yes.
Nunyo.
It sounds familiar, but I cannot tell you.
This is probably my favorite mermaid folklore story that I came across. I like this one.
Do it, kid.
So, in Japan, they have the Ningyo, which literally translates to human fish. There are a few different descriptions of the Ningyo, but one of them being described as having a monkey's mouth with fish's teeth, shining golden scales, and a quiet voice. Other descriptions claimed the creature had the body of a carp and the face of a woman with sharp teeth and golden horns. So, different descriptions varying with regions, but essentially the same creature. It is said if this creature is caught, it will bring the person bad luck, misfortune, and storms. One thing for sure is it was believed that if you ate the Ningyo, you would be granted eternal youth. I found a couple different versions of the legend of the Ningyo. One story tells of a fisherman going out to forbidden waters. The fisherman was transformed into a hideous creature as a way to help him see the error in his ways. And as a warning to others, he asked Prince Shotoku to display his bones for all to see. Another story tells of the Yaobukini. I said that wrong. Wow. Yaobukini. No, I didn't. Okay, never mind. Another story tells of the Yaobukini, or the story of the 800-year-old nun. A fisherman who caught a strange-looking fish hosted a dinner and prepared the ugly fish for his guests. However, one of his guests has seen how ugly the fish was and warned the others not to eat it. They pretended to eat the meal and drank sake all night, hiding the pieces and throwing them away when they got home. However, one man forgot to throw his portions away. His daughter ended up finding them and eating the meat that had been left out. Worried, the man monitored his daughter, but nothing seemed to have happened. However, many years went by, and over the years, she had several husbands, all of whom she had outlived. After 800 years, she took her own life. There's actually a display, which is believed to be a Ningyo, at the Enjin Temple in the city of Askushi. We're going to come back to the topic of this mermaid on display and everything. I've got some cool stuff on that. But it's actually believed that this could have been the Fiji mermaid put on display by P.T. Barnum in the 1840s.
Do you have more about the Fiji mermaid?
I do have lots more about the Fiji mermaid.
Is it next?
No. I actually took the Fiji mermaid and I put it with the hoaxes and the sightings and all that.
Okay.
It's the one that was put on our group last month.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm just listening to the description of this one, right? Wow, by the way. Can you read the description of the creature again?
Being described as having a monkey's mouth with fish's teeth, shining golden scales, and a quiet voice.
Who comes up with that?
Body of a carp, face of a woman, sharp Love teeth, it. And golden horns.
Love well, it. Again... I mean, the carp body, that's the koi fish. Koi fish are super popular in Japanese. They have tons of different various versions of the koi. They have, I mean, the koi, the dragon koi, when it gets to the top of the river, the gods give it, you know, the head of a dragon, like all kinds of stuff. In this case, it's a mermaid version or a monkey version of the koi fish and stuff. So it makes sense to me that, you know, fish is a huge commodity and resource in Japan, that they would have something like this. But again, here we have another separate culture that has mythology about a half fish, half something else, right? In this circumstance, a monkey, but regardless, you know?
I don't know the exact science behind this, but I once was told that our brains, the human brain can't actually create a new life. So whenever we come up with a creature, it's a combination of different creatures that we have already seen. So we can't just conjure up something we haven't already seen before. So that's why a zombie is a zombie. It's already it's something we're very familiar with. It's a human, but it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's a zombie. So I feel like something very similar happened here. They've conjured up an image in their head and they're describing an image of things that they've seen before, and they're having it drawn out for them in that moment.
This is why I believe that the dog man came first before the werewolf, that any kind of quote unquote werewolf sightings, because way back in, the times of all these mythologies and stuff, people would see a creature or imagine seeing a creature such as a werewolf or a dog man. You're seeing an upright walking canine, a dog, right? Well, dogs don't walk on two legs, but people do. So there must be a person that changes into that. You know what I'm saying? So I believe that the werewolf mythology came from a dog man type creature. And that is 100% true. Now, a lot of people in cryptozoology need to be careful, because a lot of the cryptids out there are very humanoid. And it's also the same thing in ufology and people who study alien life forms or believe that they're studying extraterrestrials. There are a lot of different creatures out there, anywhere from the grays to the reptilians, the mantises, all kinds of different alien beings out there that have the general shape and form of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very human of us to look at something such as an extraterrestrial, and instead of seeing something completely unique and different, we see something such as a human being with scales. And that's where you have to be careful, because are you talking about something that actually exists, or are you just talking about something that your brain, like you were saying, created? Because it's a human brain, and a human brain does not like to create new things. So it bases things on the human body.
I've got a couple of points. First, on this, right? Us not being able to, whatever. I don't know. There's an old story that when the Europeans first came to North America, that the Native Americans that were here literally couldn't even see the ships off in the distance, because they had never seen anything like it before, and they're just like, their brains couldn't comprehend it and perceive it, and it was just like they didn't even exist, right? So maybe that's part of it too. So and going back to this Japanese ninyo,
yeah,
so I'm reading this. It says some legends tell of entire towns that were swallowed by earthquakes or tidal waves after a foolish fisherman brought home a ninyo in one of his catches. And this goes back to my other point. Now, you guys familiar with the ocean that they found 400 miles under the crust?
No.
You guys ever heard of this? Okay, yes. So there's
basically
an ocean 400 miles under the crust of the earth, okay? And it's like way deeper. There's way more water there than there is on the surface, basically. And I won't get too deep into it, but basically there's probably caverns where the water flows up to the surface waters, the surface oceans. So if there was some volcanic or tectonic catastrophe that happened, and Japan is right on the Ring of Fire, it's possible that one of these or a number of unknown, undiscovered creatures that live in the under ocean came up through these caverns just prior to a massive earthquake, then flooding these cities. And then you have the people who survive it telling these stories like, oh, the fisherman brought back one of these mermaids or whatever, and then that bad luck flooded the entire town or multiple towns. So it's like they encoded a story into this idea.
I really liked this Ning-Yo story, actually. I talk about it a little more when we get into the sightings and whatnot with P.T. Barnum there, like I mentioned. But I really liked this story for... I honestly like a lot of the Japanese and like Asian culture is so cool. They've got some really, really interesting stuff. Also, and I love this sort of stuff.
Fuck me too, Barnum. Love it. So, Jeff, are you saying that there could possibly be a race of human fish in this ocean?
In the under ocean, the one that's 400 miles below the crust? Yeah, could be.
Do you not think that gravity could be too strong on her?
Gravity's fake.
I love you. I fucking love you. Hugs, bro. Hugs.
They find there's a good example. There's a great ray migration that happens, I think, in the Pacific Ocean. It happens like super rarely, but every time it happens, they find like multiple new species of rays that they've never discovered before. And they are, once they figured out that there's this under ocean, this is where the idea where there must be caverns that come up where these rays come up, you know, to the surface ocean. So if there's unknown species of rays down there, there's who knows what's down there. So again, maybe a volcano was going off and for whatever reason, it, you know, some unknown creatures swam up to the upper ocean. And
so let's sidestep for a second.
Yeah.
So you know that the deeper you go in the ocean, the more pressure, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
What do you think the pressure is created from?
What do you mean?
What do you think creates that pressure?
You're an electromagnetic universe guy, aren't you, Jeff?
Sometimes.
Only on Tuesdays.
Okay. Good enough. Yeah, only on Tuesdays.
I do know a lot about the electric universe idea and all that stuff. And I subscribe to that for a time.
But hey, so seriously, where do you think the pressure comes from?
I don't understand the question. What do you mean? Like the pressure?
Gravity, dude.
Look.
It's because of all the... Never mind.
Are we going to get into a gravity debate right now?
No. We're going to do that on the gravity episode.
I'll hit you with it, bro. with it.
We're going to do that on Jeff's gravity is fake episode.
Okay, sounds good.
All of you are crazy, all right? I'll jump in. All of you that. Are crazy.
I knew that.
Even me. Let's go.
Kay. Carry on, kid.
Okay, so Ireland tells stories of the Merrow, which is a creature that can go between land and water with its magical red cap called, and I'm going to butcher this because I could not find anything to help me pronounce this, Cathulain Druidh. I hope I didn't butcher that too bad.
Close enough.
The female Merrow has the upper body of a beautiful woman and the lower body of a fish covered in greenish tinted scales and a greenish colored hair, which she is very fond of grooming. She loves combing her hair. These beings are believed to make attachments with humans, often falling in love and getting married. It is also believed that the hideous appearance of the Merrow men was the reason the woman would seek love on land. A fictional story written by Thomas Keatley claimed that the men would capture the souls of the drowned sailors and lock them in cages. Their magical red cap is what allowed them to go between land and water, and if they lose this cap, they lose their ability to return to the water. Most stories tell of their human lovers taking their caps and hiding them, preventing them from ever leaving the land. The Irish also have the legend of the Liban. This story tells of the daughter Ecochid. She had turned into a mermaid after the spring under her house had burst, causing a flood and creating what is now known as Loch Ness. Liban's father drowned in the flood. However, she survived in an underwater chamber with her dog for about a year. During this year, her dog became an otter and she transformed into a half-human, half-salmon creature, officially taking on a mermaid form. She roamed freely for about 300 years before she was captured by a fisherman and brought to shore. It is said that she was baptized Mergin, meaning seaborn, and the creature died immediately. because the loch is a freshwater body. It's freshwater. Salt water and freshwater don't necessarily mix.
Interesting. Do they even have otters over there?
I mean, it's, I don't know, probably it's cold enough.
You said this was Ireland?
Yeah.
I found out how to pronounce that. There's no way.
I looked, like, I was on YouTube, I was Googling it, I was DuckDuckGoing it. I, for the life of me, could not find something that helped me pronounce that one. But I got a lovely little list of pronunciations in front of me here, and I'm still butchering them.
On Cochlean Dryksta, or something like that.
I believe it is Irish language.
Yeah, Irish Gaelic.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Yeah, I can't speak that, so I probably butchered that hardcore.
I was about to rebuttal Jeremy on the gravity thing, but I'm just going to hold my tongue.
Yeah, save it for your gravity.
I was trying so hard, like I was getting ready to just hit him with it, and I'm like, you know what, dude, let me just
do it. Come on, bro. Let me have it.
Let me just do it. The pressure is because of buoyancy and pressure, right? The pressure isn't necessarily from gravity. Uh-huh. It's from buoyancy and differences in density between, you know, the water and the levels of water. Gravity doesn't necessarily have to have anything to do with it.
How does the water stay on Earth, bud?
We'll discuss this on the Gravity is Fake episode.
I love you.
How is there pressure in space? Like if you're in the International Space Station, how is there pressure?
There isn't pressure.
There's no pressure?
There's so artificial pressure. It's oxygenated pressure. We use the same technology in aircraft that fly up
pushing
in the sky.
In on...
Anyways, you guys want to talk about the marine scene now?
I have a question about the mermaids in the deep, dark ocean underneath the crust. Okay? What type of mermaids, then, are we talking about? Are we talking about the fish head mermaids? Are we talking about the face mermaids? The lady face mermaids? Because either way, right, hear me out, either way, if they're in a cavern under the crust and it's bigger than this ocean or whatever, I mean, we just see animals at the bottom of this ocean. And I mean, some of them don't even have eyes anymore. Most of them don't work, right? They just don't need them. It's so dark down there. So are they a bunch of like cataract ladies and men with fish tails and gills and all kinds of stuff? And anglers on their heads so they can lure fish into their mouths? Or
probably
using some kind of like bioluminescence? Or are they fish head people with legs that really would be inadequate for swimming with?
Okay, so we know in a lot of places at the bottom of the ocean that it's just pitch black, but we don't know, especially talking about the under ocean 400 miles down, we don't know if it's dark down there. There could be all kinds of bioluminescence down there for all we know. So there could be light from, take your pick, I don't know what, but we don't know that it's dark.
The sponges glow.
They do in Minecraft.
They do.
This is true.
We know that the physics in Minecraft. Perfect.
And gravity also exists in Minecraft. But anyway.
It does.
Go for it, Kenzar.
Anyways, Western Europe has the story of the Melusine. Melusine is actually quite well known in modern day. However, it's just not recognized by name. This is the mermaid that Jeff brought up. The Starbucks logo. Described as a mermaid with two fish-like tails, the story goes as such. Melusine is the daughter of Persine and Elenus, the king of Albany. However, growing up, Melusine and her two sisters never had their father around. When Melusine learned about their father's breaking a promise he made to their mother, her and her sisters locked their father away in a mountain. When her mother became aware of what they had done, she punished the three girls, condemning Melusine to take the form of a two-tailed serpent from the waist down every Saturday. When she married, she tells her new husband that she needs complete privacy on Saturdays and that he is not to enter her chambers. She was completely unaware that he had broken this promise until one day he got mad and called her a serpent in front of the courts. Becoming so angered by his betrayal, she turned into a dragon and flew away, only ever returning to see her children. Other versions of this story have her swimming away in a river, which is where the mermaid part comes from. But we get more into her when I start talking about Starbucks later on. She was not a very nice person.
All kinds of things going on with this lady.
Yeah, she's something, for sure.
It's interesting that there's a tie to Saturday or Saturn's day, and it's...
Ah, yes, Jeff, you're fantastic.
Thank you.
And then what? My last mythology story comes from Canada. That's the story of Sedna, the goddess of both the sea and the land. So there's a few different versions of this story, depending on which tribe tells it. So I'm just sharing a couple different versions here that I found that I thought were cool. So one version says she was attacked by her parents, and in anger, her father took her out to the sea and tried to throw her over the side of his kayak. As she clung to the side, he chopped her fingers, hands, and forearms off, and then she sank to the underworld, becoming the ruler of the monsters of the deep. It is also said that her fingers became the seals, her hands became the walruses, and her forearms became the whales, hunted by the Inuit people. In another legend, she is displeased with who her father picks as a husband for her, so she marries a dog instead. This, of course, angers her father, and he throws her into the ocean and cuts off her fingers, hands, etc. Another version tells a story of a man wearing two large canine teeth on a necklace and came to the family igloo. He was welcomed to stay the night, and in the morning, he was gone. All they found outside the igloo were animal tracks. Later, Sedna became pregnant, and her father was afraid of what kind of creature she may be carrying. So he made her ride on the back of his kayak to a small island where he abandoned her. Some stories even depict her lover changing into a bird, which flies her to the island. And it is said when she is angered, a shaman must travel to her and help her wash or comb her hair. Afterwards, she would release animals for them to hunt, and others say it was simply because she had no fingers to do it herself.
Holy moly.
I wanted Brutal. To end with a fun little Canada one.
That's gnarly.
But yeah, it is kind of brutal, isn't it? Pretty savage.
The Germans could learn a thing or two about their nasty folklore. Evil, terrible folklore with all the death and stuff. Got to chop off those fingers and wrists and forearms.
Yep. Take the entire arm.
Goodness.
But yeah, that's all my mythology. What you guys think?
I like mythology.
I also like mythology.
It just makes me think of all kinds of like other shit. Like every story that you're talking about, I'm trying to like look up things that I'm looking at. You know, symbology and like all that kind of stuff. So now I'm going to probably do a deep dive into this one day.
Everywhere has their own mermaid story. Like literally everywhere. If you've got a body of water near you, whether that be freshwater, saltwater, lake, river, ocean, you've got a mermaid story. Guaranteed.
What's interesting is that in like Norse mythology, right, they had the Selkies, but it was actually seals. Yeah. So I wonder like,
that's why I left that one out.
Right. But it makes me wonder, like, were these other cultures just seeing things like seals? Or I know that the pirates in the Caribbean were seeing manatees and they thought mm-hmm. that those were mermaids. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if it is just like regular fucking animals and they just, you know, again, the language thing, right? Like they just called it mermaids, but we call it a manatee.
Mm. Very strange. I was going to say that, you know, I've saw something at some point on the History Channel about mermaids, and they pretty much chalked it up to, oh, sailors used to see manatees and they would be, you know, drunk or so dehydrated that they would, you know, do things to the manatees, and all kinds of things. And
he's talking about sex.
Yeah. And they would, and that's where the mermaid legends came from. Manatees aren't all over the world. They're in select parts.
Can you say the word manatees?
Manatee. Yeah.
There's no D in
I said manatee with a T.
You kept saying manatees.
No, manatees.
Whatever.
Now you're saying it right.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Look, you said muses. You said mooses. Okay, so.
Muses.
Yeah, muses.
Yeah, a moot.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
So I'm allowed to have an accent too. Bruh.
Okay. I'm not the one who originally was picking on you, though, so.
I was.
Tell that to Florida man over there.
Yeah, alligators and whatnot. Running around, drugging up alligators and throwing them in through drive-through windows. Anyway. An alligator high on crystal meth was thrown at a cashier.
I just gave that thing 60 cc's of crystal meth.
Bath salts is the thing down here, not meth.
Oh, there's meth in Florida.
Oh, there's meth everywhere. Part. But bath salts is like...
Anyway.
You don't remember the zombie on bath salts that like ate the guy's faces?
And threw the guy's testicles at the cops?
Yeah, I heard he wasn't actually on bath salts. He was on something completely different.
The original story was bath salts.
Yeah, that was the original story.
That was before the toxicology report came out. Anyway, all these manators... There's only so many of them around the world and in various places that couldn't have accounted for everything. You know, sailor scene.
Yeah.
Mandy's and all the manders out there.
We also have to remember that the sea level has been rising, right? Since just the last ice age ended, it's risen like 400 feet. So where there's manatees now or seals now, there could have been like their environment could have been further out than it is now because there's a shit ton of coastline that's underwater now just in the last couple hundred years.
Yeah, but in
and if you're talking I about mean, like Greek mythology or something like that, you're going back thousands of years, so the sea level would have been way lower.
But they're mammals. You think they're all the way up hanging out?
What I'm saying is like the Norse in Norse mythology. I'm choking on water. The Selkies were seals.
Right.
So my point is just like different cultures might have just had different names for whatever sea creature it was that was swimming around, you know, in shallower waters, I suppose. I don't know. I kind of made that up as I was going, but.
Well, yeah. I mean, what I was saying was stupid. I was going to be like, well, they're mammals. You think they're up, you know, where the Inuit are, but they're seals and whales and stuff. So never mind. I don't know.
That's what that story was an Inuit story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the manators.
Nope.
Mandy's. No. Yeah.
Not Mandy's.
Not the Mandy's.
So I think you did good, kid. I don't know much about mythology. It's never been really my cup of tea when you go back to like Greek mythology or really old mythology.
Could go hand in hand with cryptozoology if you play it the right way.
Yeah, cryptozoology is more of the modern mythology. And you're not wrong. I'm just not familiar with the stories and all the characters and the creatures that were part of all those stories back then. I focus more on modern mythologies.
Read a book, dude.
Yeah, seriously.
Shut up, Jeff and Jake.
Dude, I'm gonna get into giants here in a little bit, and maybe into Cyclops and stuff. And you're gonna be like, oh, I've never heard of that before, like.
Okay. Yeah. I talk about shit that you guys never heard of before all the damn time.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. So lock it up.
I'm just trying to throw you a bone and be like, I don't know. Tell me.
Tell me.
Anyway, Kenzar, despite our bickering, I definitely like that there's stories about mermaids and sirens and silkies and all different types of stuff and ladies getting their fingers chopped off all over the place. And it backed me into what I originally said in reference to Jeff talking about the dragons, that either the stories just got passed and passed and passed and passed and passed as people just migrated all over the place. Like, we know that the Native Americans have genetic similarities to Asians and stuff. So maybe if they already had the stories and everything and they migrated over to the Americas and stuff, they could have brought that over. You know, if the Roman Empire encompassed all of Europe going up to the British Isles and down to Greece and everything, that, you know, it's even parts of Africa, I'm pretty sure that they, you know, people traveling to and fro in there, you know, there just could have been a mixture of the same sort of mythologies that came around from these seafaring people. And then it spread into different cultures kind of running with it and having their own things. And that could be it. But it also could be that it's based in some kind of truth. And I'm super looking forward to the next episode so we can really break that down and get out of the mythology part into, you know, all the different theories and, you know, sightings and all that kinds of stuff. I know that you're going to blow us away.
I'm super excited to do the sightings and I'm going to say it, hoaxes.
There is no hoaxes.
Oh, you just wait.
That's what I'm so here for today.
I'm so excited to get into that stuff. That was probably the most fun part about all this researching, was the sightings and the hoaxes and the modern day events and whatnot. Mm.
Love it.
That's discovering stuff hoaxes is definitely fun. I'll tell you that.
Nuh-uh. Tell me more.
Oh, it's fun, bro. Wait, I can't wait till she talks about P.T. Barnum. I'm just going to rip him a new one because fuck that guy.
Yep. I agree with that statement.
I'm going to go to the beach in the middle of the night and take a big fish and slap its tail all over the beach and then drag it into the water and stuff. People are going to think there's a mermaid up there. I can't wait.
Did you guys see the link I posted, the YouTube video I posted in the group a couple days ago?
I wasn't able to open it.
It was a video of a mermaid found off the on a beach in Kenya.
Mm.
Like a week ago. It's fake. It's totally fake. It looks like a child with a wig got covered in this
seaweed.
No, it's like that like oil spill color. And she's like she's all, yeah, she's all like purpley and long hair, long synthetic hair. You can tell it's a synthetic wig. And the noises it makes sounds like a pig snorting. And it legitimately looks like a child was stuffed into a, like the legs of a child was stuffed into a fish. And it was just left on a beach.
Was that
and the
Kenya? I thought it was South Africa.
I read Kenya.
Oh.
As long as it wasn't way, that CGI like, crap that with that thing sitting on the rock.
No, it was way more legit, but it was definitely not a real mermaid.
Okay.
Well, since we said something about it, you're going to have to get the link again so we can post that video after this episode comes out. So everyone that is in the Infinite Rabbit Hood.
Infinite Rabbit Hood. Love it.
The Infinite Rabbit Hood. The Infinite Rabbit Hole podcast group. Not the page, the group, the one with the black logo. We'll be able to check out that video. So if we forget, if you're listening to this episode, send us a reminder because we record these weeks ahead of time and we forget. We're humans. Just let us know. And we'll put the pressure on Kid to get that up there. But yeah, Kid, good job.
I'll get it done.
What do you guys think? Give her a round of applause. All right, there we
good
go.
Good job.
Thanks, guys.
Good job. All right, good she got her job. First part of her first episode out of the way. Kid, yay. Is there anything else before we go ahead and close up for the night?
Not from me, from you guys?
Gentlemen?
Nope. I would only like to say that I would like mythology. So if anybody in the future wants to put some more mythology, do it because I love it.
Copy that. You guys heard that. Go ahead and throw your requests at Jeff in the Infinite Rabbit Hole, in the Infinite Rabbit Hood group on Facebook, and let them know. Let them know if there's any mythology you want to hear about, or if any of us want to cover mythology. I'm not going to cover mythology, but rumors are Jake might cover
I'll cover mythology.
I got some for the for one of my episodes. I got plenty of it.
This is a and house also, of learned doctors, Jeremy.
I'm going to do I'm gonna do a deep dive on those. What are they called? The Ica stones?
Yeah.
Ica stone. I'm going to do a deep dive on the Ica stones, so I'll update you guys.
Leon, you hear that?
Leon.
That's for you,
just
bud.
Just for you, man.
Yep, just for you, bud.
All right. Well, that has been another episode of the Infinite Rabbit Hole podcast. You guys are listening to this. Make sure you stop in to the Infinite Rabbit Hood group on Facebook. Let Kenzar know how she did. Let her know. Give her applause. Yay, Kenzar. Aha, yes. Good job.
Tell me how bad I did, too. What I can improve on.
Yeah, tell her how horrible she is and that she owes you money now because of wasting your time. No, just kidding. But hang tight. She has much more left for us to go. We're going to dive into a whole bunch of really cool stuff, minus the mythology of mermaids. We're going to get more into the sightings and the evidence of whether they do or they do not exist next week on Infinite Rabbit Hole. We'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.